Wonderful. Thank you so much, Valerie. That was an incredible evening. I think our first question has to go to Charlie because he's been so patient. So, Charlie, what was your question? Why is the organ called an organ?
Oh, gosh.
You did ask any question.
I did say any question. Why is the organ called an organ? I have no idea. I mean, it's a very, very old instrument. Even prior to the organ being supplied by wind was the hydraulis that was a kind of organ that was supplied by water. So why is it called an organ? To be honest, I don't know, but it's been an organ for 1,000 years.
We have a theory why it's called an organ.
Oh, well, I'd love to hear what your theory is.
The instrument has so many tubes and we have so many organs in our body.
Ah, so you think it has to do with quantity. Yes, it's a numeric. Well, yeah, I buy that.
I had another question from my darling wife. When you press a key on the organ console, how does the sound come from way back there?
Electronically. Steve Hollowitz might be able to say something about the cables, the mechanism that sends it back there. Oh, indeed. A tool. Okay, a tool or a mechanism from the ancient Greeks. That's the origin of the world. Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Organum.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. No, I hadn't either.
Great question.
When you push a key, it sends an electric signal to a bunch of wires
underneath the floor here, and it goes to a chest that has a valve on it, or a pouch, that then opens the valve and allows the air to travel through the pipe. And the air is coming constantly from blowers and reservoirs in each of the four divisions. The antiphonal, the choir, the swell at the back. Both the choir and the swell have shutters, so they're under expression. They have basically dynamics or volume control. And then the pedal chest here, which is in a sorry state of disrepair, is over here. And all the divisions really work the same way. You push the key, it sends electrical impulse, opens a valve or a pouch, and then it allows the air to go into that particular pipe. Was that pretty good, Ralph? Okay, Ralph's the actual organ technician.
Ah.
I don't even own tools, so I don't know really what I'm talking about.
So under the floor is the answer to Heather's question, which was, how do we access that antiphonal division at the back? Cables are under
the floor. Yeah, it's all old school technology. In fact, the people who put this organ in worked for Bell Canada. And so it was that old school analog phone technology that is essentially here in the organ, right? Yeah.
Do we have any other questions? Got one from Pete and then John. Pete?
So from an organist's point of view, what's the difference between playing a pipe organ and a really high-quality electric organ?
I think the main difference is for the player. Because when you play a pipe organ, there's an acoustical thing happening. Molecules are moving, right? It's an acoustical phenomena. So I actually feel floorboards rumbling. And I mean, you could reproduce that, I suppose, with a speaker. When I'm standing here, I can hear the air blowing. I don't feel an awful lot because it's an electric action. It's not a mechanical linkage. So I don't feel a lot in terms of sensitivity in my feet or my fingers different than I would an electric organ. But I do sense where the sound is coming from, and I almost feel the wind in my hair. It's that kind of a difference in feeling. So the fact that the choir is here and the swell is there and the antiphonal's there, I mean, you get that effect too. You are surrounded by sound and molecules are moving for you too. Certainly they can reproduce the sound, but that other quality of there being something that's alive with the sound and alive in the room and the building responding to it and that sort of feeling that you get when you hear a pipe organ. This really tricky to reproduce that, I think. So yeah, in terms of how I would play it, not a whole lot of difference, although I can play these different divisions and I can play the room when I'm seated at a pipe organ, whereas when I'm playing electronic organ, I'm very much just playing the speaker that's in front of me. And I don't have too much control over how it sounds in the room. It tends to come from one source, and it's delivered to you in a tunnel sort of way. So this surround sound is just filling a room, which is one of the reasons that the organ has historically been the perfect instrument for congregational singing. We've tried other things now. In the last 50, 60 years, it's been cool to have piano and drums and guitars. I wouldn't say there's anything wrong with any of them. But historically, why it was the organ was because the organ can project to the back row without any enhancements in terms of it being amplified. We don't need any amplification with an organ. It can literally fill the room with sound, no matter how big the room, provided that the organ has been designed to do that. So that was kind of a lengthy answer to a short question, but thank you for that question.
Thank you for answering questions. Marvelous hearing what you accomplished today. Thank you. My question is, sometimes I see the organ, the part where the keyboard is, placed in different places in the church.
Yep.
I was wondering, do they ever ask organists where to put the keyboard?
I wish. That's a very good question that allows me to talk a little bit about the relationship between the console, which is like the cockpit, and the organ. So that is not the organ, right? That is just the cockpit. That is just the control center. That is the organ, and that is the organ. So it's felt acoustically that the optimal place for the organ is in a gallery where it will run along the central axis of the building. That's the optimal place. So there are many examples of installations where the organ is at the back, high up in a loft. It's not the best place for the organist. And so depending on how far removed we want to be, we're probably the only musicians, we are the only musicians, who are so removed from our instrument. You know, if a pianist plays a note, they hear the sound right in front of them, as does every other instrumentalist. The organist is the only person who can be in a different part of the building playing an instrument. Like when I'm playing the antiphonal division, I don't hear that as well as you do, and I certainly don't hear that as foreground. I hear it late, and then I hear some sound somewhere. So organs are put in different positions depending on the logistical requirements of the worship space when they're in a church. When they're in a concert hall, it depends on the type. So if it's a mechanical action organ, the console will almost always be with the pipes, because on a mechanical action, the further away you are from the instrument, the heavier the touch becomes. So the optimal place for a mechanical action organ, the keyboard is always right next to the pipes. Once you're running cables, you can run cable wherever you want. So then it's a matter of, well, will the organist be able to hear what they're playing? And what other things do they have to do? Is it important for them to be part of the liturgy? Is there a choir? And most times it's yes. What I find interesting is that different denominations seem to have different positions for the organ console. I mean, if you go to different churches that have pipe organs, they won't all be in this position. Anglicans tend to like them up here in the chancel because they like to be part of the liturgical operations. Catholics, they're almost always at the back. And if you play in a Catholic church, you're very far removed from the action. So it changes your role. So I think where the console is positioned is based on logistically what is possible, and then liturgically, I guess, what is ideal. Where does the organist need to be? In the big organs in France, the grand orgue is at the back, and then there's a smaller organ for the choir at the front, right? And many composers wrote for harmonium, so the harmonium would be at the front with the choir, and you would have the chef de chœur, the choir director, So everything liturgically would happen from this end, and then the grand org would have limited functions, prelude, exit, and during communion. And the organist usually has a little green room where they sit during the service, and they just come out at communion, and then they play their big thing, and it's a very different kind of environment. So interesting when you go to different churches to pay attention. Sometimes the organ's on the side, sometimes it's at the back on the main floor. It's different everywhere you go. And no, organists never get consulted about anything.
Thank you. Sounds like you're concerned about the acoustics of the performance place. I wonder, have you ever been to Salt Lake City in the Mormon Tabernacle?
No, I haven't. That's a very famous instrument. Of course, I've seen it on broadcasts, but I have never been there, no.
The organist is on stage, but the people in the congregation can see the organist playing, and I've seen him. He's got a whole lot of those things you pull out to make it a different sound.
Yeah, yeah. It's a monster of an organ.
It is.
Yeah. And again, non-liturgical churches or the more evangelical churches, organs sometimes very visible. You'll see it in United churches where the organist is dead center and then the choir might be around them and the altar's behind. So that's not a very Anglican setup, but you'd certainly see that in the United Church. And yes, Salt Lake is one of those examples. It's a very fine instrument.
Yes. I really liked that last piece you did. Thanks for performing it for us first. Because we were so surrounded by the sound, you really felt that. Even though you said that that artist was serious, I thought that was very joyful.
Yeah.
And I wondered if, I don't know what Carolyn is, but it seemed to me that that song of Westminster.
Carolyn is an instrument. We have one at the Peace Tower in Ottawa, and it's a bell-like instrument. So when you hear church bells, but they're playing a song, it suggests that there's some kind of a keyboard-like function, could be played with fists, so they're levers, but they're in the design of a keyboard. Metropolitan United has one in Toronto and the Peace Tower in Ottawa.
So that was the intention to come across as sounding like bells.
Yeah, the sound of bells. Yeah.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah, and specifically the Big Ben bells. Ba-da-dee-dum, ba-da-da-dum.
It's always very impressive when you're playing with all four limbs and you still manage to turn your own pages. And you don't employ any page turner. Do you have any suggestions or tips for those other musicians in the room who would love to know how you do it?
Okay, I do have tips for you. Just hang on. This is an iPad Pro with 4Score on it, which I really like. And I got it because I went to Europe on a tour. It was a tour of the Vatican, actually. You'd see various instruments. I was with a lot of Americans. In the early days when the iPad had just been released, I didn't bring all my music with me. And so we would go to these instruments and some people would get up and improvise. And finally, we saw a very special historic instrument. And one of the ladies said, I have my iPad with me. I've got stuff that's sight readable. Everybody should get on the bench and play this organ. Trust me, it's worth it, and I'll just put the iPad up, and you can play whatever comes up. So when I got back, I contacted her, and I said, okay, so what is it you have, and what program, and what do you use? And I've used it ever since. And it's great because I can carry my whole music library on this. I did forget to plug it in and recharge it last night, so I had a bit of a panic moment today. But, you know, other than that, it's great. Now that I'm freelance, I played a number of different churches. I have most of the Anglican hymnal, most of the Catholic hymnals, some of the United hymnal. I have it all on my iPad. The greatest thing about that is that I can shift pages so the page turns are where I want them, as opposed to just at the bottom of the page. And that's how I managed most of it. Some stuff doesn't work very well on the iPad, so I do have some paper scores. But yeah, that's a real bonus for traveling, so I don't have to bring all my music with me. Yeah, good question.
So Valerie, being freelance and going to different organs, how long does it take you to get used to an organ and learn its little quirks?
Well, it depends on the organ. It depends how radically different it is from what I practice on. But that's a good question because it takes longer than most people think. So I came in on Monday night, and I spent all day Tuesday here. It probably takes me 3 to 4 hours to register a program like this because I want to hear all the sounds on the organ and I want to use all of the resources. I don't want to leave the bench having never played the antiphonal division or having not used the solo trumpet, even though it's really honking loud. I'm going to find one piece somewhere where I'm going to use that stop. And this is a large instrument. It has 4 manuals. In Regina, we don't have a single instrument that has 4 working manuals. So it took me all day yesterday, and at the end of the day, I felt like in the great match, organ versus organist, the organ won. And then I came in today and reviewed everything that I had done yesterday. I made some changes because things didn't sound as well as I wanted them to, or I had come up with some other clever ideas. And I still feel tonight like it took a bit of getting used to. I would have liked another day. When you think I'm using large muscle groups, right? I'm making changes all the time. I have pistons on the floor on my left. They are from 1 to 8. So 1 is very far away. 2 is very far away. I have glasses and I look down, and if I need 4, 5, or 6, it takes me a while to figure out which one is 4, and I have to hit it in a split second. So yeah, it takes a long time to get used to. If I know I'm going to play an instrument that is within driving distance, I will go a month before and just make friends with the instrument. But of course, when you're on tour, you just have to adapt quickly. And you get better at it the more of it you do. But this one, it had some challenges. I had things written on my score like, get ready for number 2 with your left hand. It's coming. I know it's coming. There it is. These are all great questions. Have we exhausted the questions? Is that possible? Thank you for contributing really interesting questions. I think everybody learns when we open up the floor. If anybody wants to stay after and have a look at the console, you'd be welcome to do that. Either myself or Steve, I'm sure, would be able to explain what's going on up there. There's 4 keyboards and a pedal board. So I don't know if you noticed, I have special shoes. Those are organ shoes. I have about 4 or 5 pair of those. They have leather soles and leather heels and a very square. They're like a dance shoe because I play with my feet all the time, with the toes and the heels. So that's another weird thing that organists do. If there are no more questions, here's what I would like to propose. You have hymn books in the pews, and this is a good ecumenical hymn. 355 in the blue hymnal, which is common praise. And the hymn is All Creatures of Our God and King. It has 7 verses. We will not sing all 7. We're going to sing 1. Michael got to pick the next one, so he picked 2. Is that right, Michael? Great rushing winds. Okay, 2. And then we'll jump to 7. So verses 1, 2, and 7, the hymn is 355. And if you go to church at all, you'll recognize it. Thank you.